podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Jones! Bowden! He's got it! England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins!
Stokes flashes it away through the covers for four, and England have won the match!
Hello, welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket. So, the England juggernaut, so-called Bazball, rolls on. The fourth day's play at Headingley saw another pulsating performance by England's batsmen, certainly after they lost a couple of early wickets in pursuit of another challenging target, which they've made look totally straightforward with that partnership between Root and Ollie Pope Simon. They're threatening the sorts of records which 10 years ago you just wouldn't consider in the fourth innings. And maybe that's part of the secret behind why they're making it look so easy, because they think it's easy, or they think it's possible anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the really weird thing about it is when England started off in pursuit of 296 to win, I don't think there were that many people in the ground, certainly perhaps in the media, who thought England wouldn't get there. Of course, they've still got 113 to score, and they've got 8 wickets left, and they could fall in a heap tomorrow, but it just feels so unlikely. I think they've just got New Zealand where they want them. I think they were debilitating defeats for New Zealand at Lords and then at Trent Bridge. And I think New Zealand have sort of got 3.5 bowlers. You know, they've made a massive mistake in not picking Ajaz Patel in this game, at least to give themselves a chance. England have got 6 right-handers in the top 8. He's a left-arm spinner. Michael Bracewell is a part-time spinner. He's gone 11 overs, 1 for 70. But I just think there's a sort of confidence around this England side, this England sort of batting unit, that just suggested actually 296, yeah, that won't be too much of a problem. But as you say, in the past, to score 296 in the fourth innings, especially somewhere like Headingley, you'd think unlikely. I know England knocked them off in 2019, but it needed something incredible from Ben Stokes and help from Jack Leach to do that. But yeah, I just think England have got New Zealand. They've got them, you know, they've subdued them, and it's very hard for New Zealand to sort of to fight back, really. I mean, they have fought, but they've just not quite got the bowling, I think, to threaten this England batting lineup and their approach as well.
Yeah, you say that Headingley is a place where, you know, fourth innings targets are often difficult, and yet, interestingly, of England's, I think, highest or in fact Test cricket's highest run chases, quite a few of them are at Headingley. The one over 400 Australia chased in 1948, which is a famous match with the Bradman Invincibles, who, you know, totally dominated that summer. Of course, there was that famous victory England pulled off at Headingley when Mark Butcher played that incredible innings, 177 not out in 2001 to chase 315, I think it was, to win the Test match against Australia. And there have been a couple of others, obviously Ben Stokes and Jack Leach in 2019. So it's funny, it's a sort of, I suppose, famously, Headingley is capricious as a surface, and there are times when bowlers are on top, but there are also times when bowlers look totally hapless and clueless, and this has been one of those occasions, really, where, certainly in this run chase, that nothing really went right for New Zealand after the first 5 overs.
No, I suppose, just on Headingley, you think of those uneven pitches, don't you? And, you know, the ball going up and down, you know, Australia trying to chase in 1981, for example. And there have been, you know, lots of Test matches since. But the nature of the Headingley pitches is a bit different now. You know, I remember, for example, here against Sri Lanka in 2014, England were 5 down overnight trying to battle to save the game, and they nearly became the first side in Test history to survive 5 wickets down going into the final day. Moeen Ali played that brilliant 100, and Jimmy Anderson was out off the penultimate ball of the match. So that, you know, there have been some quite flat pitches late on in the games. I suppose it's just that sort of overall memory of Headingley over sort of 40 years, where you think of it, you know, it goes up and down, it's difficult for batting. But you're right, there have been some heroic run chases here. I suppose the Mark Butcher one, Australia were in control of that game, and they I don't know, they got a bit casual with their declaration, or they were desperate to win. It was a strange game because they sort of had to declare to try to win the game. They probably left England not quite enough. But I mean, even that game, I remember, was there one that bounced over Mike Atherton's head early on? You thought, goodness, I mean, there's no chance of getting these. Anyway, we're sort of drifting back into the past. But, New Zealand just... their bowling attack is a bit short. I don't think they've got enough. I think they've got enough personnel actually. Ajaz Patel, I was down there doing the post match interviews, and he was watching on in the sort of dugout area, and he must have been thinking, "Oh, I should be playing. This should be my day." As you know, as it was Jack Leach's day today. You know, taking 10 for great. You know, great for him to do that. But you know, why is Ajaz Patel not playing in this Test match?
No, very good question. And just sort of looking at England's run chase, and you know, there was a fair bit of criticism of Bracewell, the left arm spinner, the off spinner for New Zealand, who obviously is in only his second Test match, and he's highly inexperienced, hasn't been bowling off spin for long, only what, a couple of years or something, two or three years.
Yeah.
And you know, there is inevitable criticism. You look at his figures, 11 overs, 1 for 70, and you think, well, you know, obviously he bowled badly. But I suppose I sort of feel. I feel sorry for spinners in the modern game, especially when they come up against somebody like Joe Root, because where are they supposed to bowl? In a way, the more the ball turns, the more Root seems to enjoy it. And, you know, there was a period of play this afternoon, late this afternoon, when he was trying to bowl the ball outside off stump to spin back in through the gate into the rough that Trent Bolt had created, which was absolutely the right way to bowl. And Root was just reverse sweeping every ball. Yeah. And I don't know what bowled. In a way, you know, it's easy to criticise the spinner and say, well, he can't exert any control. But the modern batsman and, you know, players like Root and Pope, who are so adaptable and as good in short form as they are in Test cricket, they're impossible to contain. I don't know what even Nathan Lyon would have been able to do today, really, because they're so good. I mean, I don't know, he might have got a bit more bounce or something, but it's tough for the modern spinner, isn't it? And in a way, even more credit to Jack Leach for his tenfer, because you know, it's not unplayable, the pitch, and he just kept on going, and Stokes backed him and kept the, and you know, set sensible fields, set you know, slightly provocative fields at times, inducing batsmen to go for it, and they did and fell into the trap.
Yeah, one thing Jack Leach said in his post-match interview with me, he said, I said, you know, who sets your fields? And, you know, he talked about, he said, I set them. And then, you know, we have a, you know, I talk to the skipper and he gives me ideas. He said, but one thing he says is long on and long off, no. You're having a mid on and mid off. You're having the field up. You know, the idea of, yeah, tempt them to go over the top. And, of course, in the first innings, he did take some wickets with players holing out into the deep.
So that was Stokes's influence, you're saying?
Yes. Well, he's saying that Stokes wants him to have mid on and mid off up. Someone like Graham Swan, for example, he liked to have long on back. He didn't mind that. And there's a logic to it. Other bowlers, I mean, he talked to Vic Marks. Vic will say, you know, I wanted my field to stay up. I wanted them to try to hit me over the top. But different spinners have different approaches. But there was a sort of strong indication that, you know, he's really enjoying working with Ben Stokes, and that Ben, you know, perhaps he feels that Ben Stokes believes in him a bit more, and that he's not going to have those. Remember those deep set fields in Australia, and it was just so easy to knock the ball around, and you know, if there's a loose ball coming along, short ball whacked away or whatever. For Trent Bridge, it was quite hard for all the bowlers, but you know, definitely here, it's a pitch in which, you know, any self-respecting spinner would, I think, would expect to get some wickets. You'd be disappointed if you didn't take, you know, 6 or 7 wickets in the game. Jack Leach has had a, you know, real bonus, you know, 10 for in this game. So yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I agree with you about, you know, it's tough for spinners. I agree. But I think you do need a front-line spinner, or two, possibly even two front-line spinners. I think Nathan Lyon would have bowled quite well here, would have been a threat. And Michael Bracewell, he's just, you know, relatively inexperienced for a spinner. And, you know, he's up against one of the best players of spin in the world in Joe Root. And it was so tough for him. Really difficult.
Do you know, you're talking of keeping the field in for the left-arm spinner. I remember once, not that far away from Headingley, actually, we played at Bradford and Abbeydale Park, and Phil Tufnell was bowling to, I've forgotten who, somebody from Yorkshire, and Mike Gatting wanted the mid-off up. And there'd been a few issues with Tuffers, actually, in this particular match. I can't remember what they were due to. Anyway, Tuffers wanted the long-off out, and he kept sort of, there was an argument on the field, because Gat wanted him in and Tufnell wanted him out, and in the end, Gat sent him off. that's Tuffers, not the fielder. Yeah. Sent him off the field to kind of calm down for half an hour. It's quite funny. But so it, I suppose in the end, it's good to hear that the batsmen are being encouraged to play aggressively against the spinner, and Stokes sees that potential for wickets. And I know that in the first innings, Jack Leach got two or three caught in the deep with the field in. This innings, he got more conventional left-arm spinners' wickets, really.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And the funny thing is, he said the wicket that pleased him most was the Nichols wicket yesterday, because, you know, top-order player. A lot of his wickets were lower-order players. But the interesting thing, you still got to get the lower order out. And actually, just watching him on this surface, you really backed him to do that. I didn't give, you know, that lower order from New Zealand much chance, much time against Leach, because there was enough devil there, and he was getting enough spit and spin from the surface. And you know, and so it proved. He actually ran through the tail, and England knocked out the last five for 50. So you know, excellent day for him. You know, he said it hasn't really sunk in, and why would it actually? You know, it's one of those sort of, it's a breakthrough day, isn't it? It's like scoring 100 for a batter. You know, you get 10 for, you get 5, you get 10 for. It's a real achievement. You know, no one can ever take it away from you once you've done that. And you know, he's done it for the first time, and the first time for an England bowler since actually Moeen did it 5 years ago in 2017 at Lord's. So a great day for him. We shouldn't just focus just on Jack Leach. I think we should. We touched on Matthew Potts last night, didn't we, as well? And he took a really important wicket today to get rid of Daryl Mitchell. Otherwise, we would just be seeing Mitchell and Blundell presumably just bat forever. I don't know. You know, they were averaging about over 100 together, and the rest of the team, or the other wickets, the rest of the team in the series, averaging about 22, something like that, 23. It just shows the influence that they've had on the series. And I thought, you know, once they got Mitchell, then you just felt that was a really big moment in the game. And Bracewell, not a great shot, hold out to deep square off Jack Leach, Crawley taking the catch, and then Leach took out Southee, Wagner and Bolt. And lovely feeling for him walking off on his own, holding the ball up, showing it to the crowd that was, you know, cheering him 3 years ago here in that wonderful partnership with Ben Stokes that took England over the line in that Ashes match. So he's a, you know, Somerset lad or whatever, but he doesn't mind his trips to Headingley, I think it's fair to say. The state of the game now, Yoz. I mean, surely England win from here. They're just so much on top of this New Zealand bowling lineup. Unless, you know, the clouds come in the morning, it's really tricky bowling batting conditions. But 113 to win, 8 wickets left. It's hard to see England messing it up from here.
Yeah, it is. I remember a Test match against South Africa in the 2000s, and it was about 90 to win with four or five wickets left, England. And I was in the bar with two of the not-out batsmen that night, in the Channel 4 days, and both not-out batsmen were out within 20 minutes of the start, and Jack Callis polished England off. Those batsmen, by the way, were Flintoff and Butcher, who... Well, they stayed up perhaps a little bit later than they should have done that particular night. But
you've always been a bad influence, haven't you?
Absolutely brilliantly. What?
You've always been a bad influence.
No, I was a bad influence. I was a very bad influence that night, actually. And but Jack Callis bowled superbly and swung it really late and got the ball to sort of zip off the surface and was too much for England and bowled them out. I can't see that happening tomorrow. One just little note of a little bit of not sadness, but concern is just the continued struggles of Zach Crawley, and I just watched him today, and it was a very skittish innings. He was conscious of Bolt's threat, and he tried to play the ball later. Clearly, at times he was trying to be more watchful, and left a couple of dangerous deliveries just outside off stump. Well, he judged the line well, but he was still looking for that big drive. And I thought, actually, he got away with it today until he tried to drive the off-spinner. And, you know, it was a sort of telegraphed ploy. The New Zealanders left a quite an inviting gap on the offside, and Bracewell was clearly looking to bowl quite wide outside off stump to induce the drive, landing it into that rough that Trent Bolter created. Surely a guy, an intelligent batsman and a guy with lots of ability, would recognise the danger there, the threat. And yet he tried a big booming drive on the up. The ball wasn't nearly a half volley, and it just spooned to extra cover. And I just thought that was, it was naive batting. And I hate saying this because I'm a huge admirer of Crawley and his sort of demeanour on the field and his clear talent. But he just keeps making stupid mistakes.
Yeah, it's very frustrating for him. Because in one over from Bolt, he hit him for four fours. And you saw the best of him there. There was a pull shot, and he's strong off the back foot. There was a drive down the ground. There were two through the covers. It was the best of Zach Crawley. When you watch those strokes, you think, yeah, this man is, well, he has got, clearly got loads of talent. And it was the sort of talent that actually beguiled the Australians. I mean, they were euphoric about his innings in Sydney. They were full of praise for it. Yeah, this guy's got something. He's a pom who can actually play some shots at the top of the order and, take us on. It was that sort of feeling, and he really crisp striking. But it's no good having those shots if you can't stay in consistently. What do they do? Well, we talked about it earlier in the match, but it's not been a great series for him. He hasn't got a half century in the series. And there's another test match starting on Thursday. The team, actually, or the squad for the next test match is going to be released tomorrow. So whether the selectors decide to make a change or not, we'll find out pretty quickly. You think they'll stick with him for now, though, don't you?
One more test match. I think it's going to be tough to bring somebody in afresh at the moment. And they've got to do some rejigging probably anyway, haven't they? Because they'll probably have to bring in a Harry Brook for Ben Foulkes and give the gloves to Bairstow, I would imagine. I know Sam Billing's kept today, but the likelihood is that they'll bring in Harry Brook? What do you think?
Well, I suppose they had to bring in someone like Sam Billings because it's a like-for-like replacement, isn't it, for COVID? So Sam Billings arrived at the hotel at 1:30 in the morning. I mean, it's his second sort of mercy dash, isn't it? And he's played two test matches now. Both of them have involved quite long journeys. This one wasn't quite as long as the one from Brisbane to Sydney when he was forced to drive because he wasn't allowed to fly and he couldn't believe it. He said, you've got to drive. And then he went, what? I've got to drive. Can I not fly? No, you can't because, you'll be on a plane with lots of other people. You've got to drive. So you have to drive from Brisbane to Sydney, and this time he had to drive up from the southeast to Headingley and arrived at 1:30 in the morning. Does he stay in, or is it just a sort of stopgap move because it's a like for like? Well, we'll probably find out tomorrow when they announce the selection of the squad for the next game. It does depend, though, whether they want Bairstow to have the gloves, doesn't it, or whether they want they want to bring in another keeper. And they say, well, actually Billings is next in line because he played in the test match in in Hobart, wasn't it? He made his debut in Hobart eventually. So, yeah, that's a judgment call they'll have to make. Do they want to give the gloves back to Bairstow? I don't know. We'll find out.
What about Joe Root's ramp for six then? Left-handed ramp for six off Neil Wagner. Amazing. What about that?
It was amazing. A remarkable shot. If you haven't seen it, everybody, find a way of seeing it. It'll be on social media. It's on the BBC Sport website. It'll be on the BBC Sport highlights on the iPlayer. It'll be on Sky highlights as well. It's just a breathtaking shot. I don't think Wagner could quite believe it, really. It was a sort of footish ball outside the off stump, and he reversed it over deep third for six. I mean, he played something similar at Trent Bridge. It wasn't quite the same shot. But it was similar. And he did say, I think in an interview before that day's play, you're going to see some different sort of shots from me. So it's clearly something he's been working on. And, it's a shot of the T20 age, really. But you just didn't expect him to play that shot at that particular moment. England was still like 200 to win or something. The game sort of felt in the balance, but he had that freedom and presumably the confidence as well. Because you've got to practice that to be able to play it. You've got to practice it a lot to perfect it, to play it. But
I wonder what he'd average stunning. Batting as a left-hander in Test cricket. Probably about 35. Mm. I mean, half his shots today were left-handed shots.
Mm. Yeah, he's phenomenal, isn't he? He's had a great series, a great summer. Might get another 100. Actually, he's got time to get another 100. 113 to win. He's 55 not out. Emulating Daryl Mitchell, who made 300s in the series. And Ollie Pope as well, good day for him, 81 not out, lots of shots. I mean, again, he's so pleasing on the eye. He's like Zach Crawley, lots of shots. It's about that, I suppose, that tightness in defence and shot selection is going to be the key to what sort of test career he has. But it's one of those situation at the moment where sort of almost everything England are doing is working out for them, and they can, you know, they can carry the odd mistake and the odd player who's not in form. The one other wicket that England lost today was Lee's run out, and actually that was a bit unlucky really, because I think Crawley was thinking four through for wide mid off. Excellent start from Williamson, got to his feet, and Trent Bolt was magnificent as well. The ball came in, Bolt balletically so took the ball and just managed to get his hands down and whip off the bales as he was sort of running past the stumps. It was a wonderful piece of fielding. And Lees will probably think, well, I actually did run a single. I ran halfway up and halfway back. But yeah, it's been a series of run outs, and it's been a series of magnificent batsmanship, really, from both sides. I mean, there's been excellent from Mitchell and Blundell, and from England's sort of very powerful middle order. It's a shame the series is coming to an end tomorrow, actually, Oz.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's interesting. I think you have to give some credit to New Zealand, because they just keep on seeking wickets in the field. You know, they don't go negative generally. Teams could try and hide the ball wide of off stump or bowl in a negative way, but they don't actually. And they don't put the fielders all back on the boundary either. They, you know, try and encourage positive play and seek wickets, keep slips in and things like that. So they've made a few elementary errors. Their selection has been bad. I think they do things like put their slip fielder in the wrong place for the spinner, so he's too wide, so he can't grab at some of the chances. And you know, I don't think Kane Williamson is the most ingenious captain. I mean, he's a genial man and a wonderful character and ambassador of the game. He doesn't seem to have tactical acumen particularly, so that's a weakness. Maybe it's time that he handed the reins over to Tom Latham. There'll be calls for that back in New Zealand, but they've certainly played their part in an incredibly entertaining series, and I'm sure they will on the final day as well, although England probably will tie up victory soon after lunch. So we'll report back on the outcome of that final day's play from Headingley as soon as it's over. Speak to you then. Thanks for listening.
Podcast Network.